Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
All right, happy Friday, everybody. Weekend within our grasp. Stink is off today. My man, Stoke, Brandon Stokely from Stokely and Zach sitting in. How you doing? You got
doing great.
You know, you got an hour under your belt. You
got my coffee in me.
Yeah.
Yep. I can see the golf course, you know, like right in front of me. I can taste it early. I mean, that's got to be good. I mean, talk to me about your, I know that's the, you know, we made jokes about
exactly.
It, but do you get to get out a lot,
well,
like
know,
at 9:30, 10?
Yeah.
Like, what's your golf? That's kind of what I want to know. What's your golf routine when you are able to play?
Oh, well, yeah, you get out early. Maybe not go and play golf, but it's so easy just to stop by, hit a bucket, you know, and you still got the whole day left. D-Max always on my case. What does he do after 9 a.m.?
Yes.
I do after 9 a.m. all the things he gets to do before 3 p.m.
But I tell you this.
But you're right. For the golf, oh, what a great shift.
Yes.
Great
shift. But when you have work hanging over your head, it's hard to relax and enjoy it. Like D-Mac in the afternoon, right? You know, maybe you can go play golf in the morning. But when you have work hanging over your head, for me, it's hard to enjoy it. For you, at least you know work's behind me.
Right.
I can enjoy it
I'm
now.
Always I'm always thinking about work, though.
Yeah, I know you're a grinder, Mike. You're a grinder. That's why.
Grind.
That's what you do.
That's right.
You never stop working.
That's right. Never stop
Child,
working.
Please.
Okay, so we've got, and Is It Just Me Friday, give you a chance to get after us a little bit. Here's one. Okay, is it just me? This one's coming after you, Stoke.
Oh, perfect.
Okay,
bring it.
And I love reading these. You know,
I know you do.
It's the wedge driver in me.
Yep.
So
That's what you do best.
I enjoy this. Let's see. This is about you being too soft on Teddy here. Where was I? I just had it. Here we go. Okay. Evans, can you please explain to Stoke that Teddy is not the safe, good quarterback that Stokes keeps trying to portray him as? He's only started 10 games three times in his career. He averages just over 14 touchdowns and just under 11 interceptions per game. That is not good.
No, it's not good. And I haven't portrayed Teddy Bridgewater as a savior here. I don't think it's a huge upgrade over Drew. He is the veteran quarterback. He's been around the block a little bit more. He's seen a little bit more. It was only a couple years ago when he was in a really good situation in New Orleans and went 5-0. What did he do last year? Nothing. He was awful. Drew was awful. I mean, so we got two quarterbacks that played awful football last year. You have one that's a veteran, though, that has been around the block and that has seen a lot. And the other guy is still young and raw. We don't know what he can do. So that's kind of the way I look at this competition and look at Teddy Bridgewater. He's not going to come in here and, you know, lead this team to a Super Bowl, I don't believe. I mean, that's not my expectation. But I think when you look at the two of them and you put yourself in Vic's shoes, it's more Teddy because that's more of the veteran calming presence than the unknown that is Drew Lock.
Well, but we talked about this yesterday. Bridgewater, boy, has he been able to maximize? Has he been able to really capitalize on that stretch he had with the Saints where he started and he played, you know, lights out football? And he's been able to, you know, parlay that into a big contract.
Yes.
Teams have continued to want him. And it's based on what he did that time where he was given a chance in New Orleans. But the more time goes on, Stoke, how much of that was, hey, Teddy Bridgewater really showing what he can do, or was it just a classic example of sometimes backups get called upon, they perform above what they are for a while, but then there's a reason why they're a backup, and over the long haul, if asked to go out there and play day after day, week after week, they revert back to what they are. Plus, he was surrounded by a really good team, a really good coaching staff. So who is Teddy Bridgewater? Is it the guy that flashed in New Orleans, or is it the guy that, has looked like a journeyman everywhere else.
Well, I think it's hard to say, look at the New Orleans situation and say that's who he is. I mean, that's who he can be in a great situation.
Clearly, Carolina thought that's who he was.
Well, I think options are limited sometimes for teams, and so you keep your fingers crossed. I mean, have you seen the Broncos with Flacco and Keenum? I mean, you kind of see what it is, but you keep your fingers crossed because you have no other options. And quarterback is such a tough position. It's tough a position to evaluate and to draft, and so sometimes you're stuck in a bad spot. So you go after the veteran guy that you hope, you know, can have some magic for you, a Case Keenum type of year that he had in Minnesota, that type of year, right? But the majority of the time, it doesn't happen. So Teddy Bridgewater is probably the guy that you've seen the majority of his career, a guy that's going to throw you, you know, what, 14, 15 touchdowns, 11, 12 interceptions, 10 interceptions, something like that. If he plays the whole year, probably going to get that. You hope if you're Pat Shurmur and Vic Fangio that you get a Teddy Bridgewater that has maybe one of those outlier years and it's just a perfect storm, but he won't be the answer for the future here.
He'll give you a chance to compete. You're not going to win big with him.
Not big. No. I agree with you.
All right. You can compete. You'll compete. I mean, I have no doubt they'll be in games with him. But will he win games for you? And I just don't see that happening.
I think he can win games for you, but I don't think he can do it consistently.
To the point where you're winning 10, 11 games and, you know, competing for a playoff spot.
I'm not going to say no to competing for a playoff spot, especially this year when you look at 7 playoff teams again, 17 games. You see some crazy things in the NFL.
Though, this conference just seems loaded with, and when I say loaded, not like top-heavy loaded, but just...
Yeah, solid.
I mean, it's loaded with potential wild card teams.
Yes, loaded. It is. But you see crazy things every year. I mean, we don't know. It's hard to project injuries, things like that. Things can happen quickly in the NFL where a good team, all of us. I mean, you look at the 49ers and how decimated they were with injuries last year. So things can happen quickly. And I think a Teddy Bridgewater-led team can have you in the playoff race, mm-hmm. the playoff conversation in the last month of the season.
Right. Now, just because I label Bridgewater a guy you can compete with, but I don't think you can win with, this is not me calling out Bridgewater. If anything, shame on Drew Lock if you can't beat him out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's really, and my defense of Lock has always been, hey, I think he had done enough that he should be given a chance to come back and show if he can make that jump in year 3. Okay. That's always been but I did not believe after last year that he should be given the opportunity to run unopposed.
Yes.
Okay. He blew that opportunity, you know, to be anointed as the guy. So
right.
You had to have competition. You had to have a veteran fallback safety net, if you will, for the idea that if he did not make that jump, well, you know what? You still got 52 other guys on that football team that you need to be responsible for and give them a chance to believe that, you know, what they're doing every Sunday, you know, matters. And that's why you had to have a guy like Bridgewater brought in here. But if Locke can't beat him out, you know, that's shame on Locke. It really is. I mean, if this 50-50 competition ends up being won by Teddy Bridgewater, to me, it's a downer because the guy that you wanted to win the job, that should win the job and doesn't win the job, that's deflating.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's had perfect, as good a situations as you could possibly hope for if you're Drew Lock the last couple years.
Yeah.
He ran, he was given the job 2 years ago, right? His second year, they just handed it to him. And then this year, after playing awful last year, the majority of the season, being one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL, he is competing against Teddy Bridgewater. That's it. Not Matt Stafford, not a rookie incoming quarterback, not Carson Wentz. No. It's Teddy Bridgewater, who the Broncos, you know, are paying like $3-4 million for this year. That's it. Carolina's paying the rest. And so, you know, he's got a perfect situation. And you're right. It's now or never. And if he can't do it, yeah, it is disappointing because we had hoped and we were optimistic here in Broncos country that it would be Drew Lock, that he would be the answer. And if he can't do it, then we're starting all over again.
All right, is it just me, a Friday where we give you a chance to get stuff off your chest? I want to get your thoughts on how you're reading the Aaron Rodgers situation right now because, boy, there are a lot of different views as to where that is and where that is going. That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com. Motors.com.
Brandon Stokely. Stoke. The Raging Cajun. Sitting in for Stink this morning. So that means I think Nate Jackson's going to be sitting in for you.
Yes.
With Zach coming up between noon and 3. So, you know, that's what happens here during the summer. Guys take a lot of time off. And so we're moving people around, moving pieces. Zach was in for me last week. So appreciate what he does. Appreciate you coming on in. Where are you at with the whole Aaron Rodgers situation? Is he going to sit out? Is he going to stay away? Is he going to come in? Is he going to be a pain in the ass? I mean, well, what?
Well, yeah, I don't think, you know, anybody knows. Obviously, when you hear Schefter say, you know, he's checked out, and you hear Rappaport say, no, not so fast. You're talking about the two heavyweights in the NFL when it comes to scoop. Yep. And they're both on the opposite side of this thing. I look at it, I don't think Green Bay's trading him. That's where I've been feeling that way the whole time. I still feel that way. I just don't see them trading him this year. Maybe next offseason, but not this year.
Why do you feel so confidently about
that? Well, you know, when I look at it, I say, if I'm the general manager, do I want to be the guy that trades Aaron Rodgers? And the answer is absolutely not. If I'm the general manager that drafted Jordan Love and started this fire, do I want to be the guy that trades Aaron Rodgers and has him go off to Denver and takes them to the Super Bowl or takes them to the AFC Championship game? And, oh, by the way, I was just in the NFC Championship game the last 2 years with Aaron Rodgers, and now we stink. Now we're 6-11, and the spotlight is right on me, and now I'm the awful guy, right? They're going to forget about Aaron Rodgers. I'm the one that caused all of this. And
yeah, but you caused it by drafting Jordan Love.
Yes, exactly.
You already signaled your intent to move on from this guy.
Well, your intent.
Or at least until an expiration date.
Until he started playing really well. Plans have changed now. I'm going to keep riding Aaron Rodgers' coattails as long as he can continue to get me to the NFC Championship game and have a chance to win the Super Bowl. So I'm holding tight. And if Aaron Rodgers wants to sit out the whole year, okay. All right, pay us back our money. We're going to make a lot of cash back, and we're going to get salary cap relief, and then we'll look to trade him next offseason. Oh, by the way, when we know where the Broncos are picking, when we know where the Raiders are picking, you're going to have a bigger pool because a lot of the quarterback positions are filled this year, right? Even if you're Aaron Rodgers. I mean, certain teams have already picked their lane. Next year, well, those lanes are going to change. You know, who knows what Philly's going to look like? Who knows what Carolina's going to look like? Who knows what these teams are going to look like? So your pool is a lot bigger than of candidates that want your quarterback. So I keep going through those scenarios, and I just don't see them trading him no matter what he does.
Okay, I love players' perspective, and so I want to get yours because I find myself I think Stink makes too much of this, but tell me if I'm wrong. So when I look at it, if I'm the Packers, I sit on them. I squat on them.
So you feel like me?
Well, no, wait a minute. Hold on.
Okay.
That's what I would do if I was the Packers. Okay. But then Stink's telling me that, no, you're really running the risk of putting a cloud over your franchise. It's going to be a major distraction, especially if Aaron Rodgers is holding out. And you choose not to trade him. You know, everybody's being asked about it. It's going to really cause a problem in the room. And this hard-earned culture that you've built up over decades with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, as a franchise, you run the risk of blowing that all away and destroying it all if you don't trade him. I think he's being a little bit overdramatic.
I agree with you.
Okay.
Mike, how about that?
That's...
Huh?
Benny!
What?
Mark the tape!
Wow. I agree with Mike.
Tell me you got that one.
I think that's a little bit dramatic there from Mark. I think that players forget quickly. Once you start throwing money at them, once you start winning football games, you
players think are worried about their own.
Yes, you think in a couple years they're going to be, oh, I'm not going to Green Bay, man. Remember what they did to Aaron Rodgers? I mean, no, not at all. I mean, right now, could it be a distraction? I mean, guys being asked about it. Okay, you're asked about Aaron Rodgers. Just take the Bill Belichick approach, right? Listen, I'm not talking about this anymore. I have nothing else to say. Go talk to Aaron. We want him here. And then you're done with it. And they keep asking you questions. Just say, hey
we're on to Chicago.
I'm focused on Jordan Love. It's very easy to remove that distraction. You just don't answer the questions anymore. And so you answer them once and you say, that's all I'm talking about it. And then you're done with it. And you say, go talk to Aaron Rodgers about it. So is it a big distraction to be asked about Aaron Rodgers? No, I don't think so. Not if you're a pro. And these guys, like you said, Devontae Adams is going the last year of his contract. At a certain point, he's worried about himself, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you're worried about yourself, and you got to take care of your business. If you don't take care of your business, you'll be looking for a job elsewhere. So I think that's a little bit overblown, overhyped from Mark there. And it's not that hard to navigate those waters.
Well, then if you're the Packers, then, yeah, you just say, okay, Aaron, you don't want to come in, you don't want to play, give us our $30 million back, and
yes.
we'll just trade you next offseason.
Exactly.
The pool. Do you think that?
I agree with Mike.
Is the NFC, are NFC teams out of bounds here? Do you think that if.
That's a good question.
They will trade them. Okay. At some point, they're going to trade them. Either coming up here before this season or during this season or after it. They're going to trade them. I just don't see Aaron Rodgers playing another game as a Green Bay Packer. Now, does that preclude you from trading with the NFC? Because, I mean, if you really want to open up the pool, then, you know, you make sure that the NFC teams can come in, too.
Yes.
I mean, do you think that that's... Because if you're...
They're on the bottom of the list.
If you're telling yourself, hey, we do not want to deal Aaron Rodgers to an NFC team, then that part of me I look at and say, well, then just do it now.
Yeah, they're on the bottom of the list, obviously, but I'm not taking them out of the equation. And it depends on what team. So I think that, you know, it's a lot that goes into it when you look at, well, will it be an NFC team or could it be an NFC team? I think it could, but there's some outliers there. You know, you might have to pay a little bit more than an AFC team. And if you do, then okay, we would prefer that offer because, you know, we got a little bit extra. But if all things are equal, well, he's going to AFC team, of course. But I wouldn't exclude an NFC team. No, would not.
It's not a mandate, but the NFL is strongly suggesting that its players get vaccinated or else. We'll hit that in Four Down Territory next.
I want Mason Glory Hole. This is Four Down Territory.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Pound it, launch it, and bring the funk.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. You just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
I think everybody you're going to talk to is going to continue to tell you just how happy of a human being Greg Knapp was. I mean, he woke up every day with a smile on his face, a loving life. Whether you were off to a 4-0 start or you were 1-3 and struggling and needed a big win to get going, Knapper was the guy that everybody went to for positive reinforcement that we can get this done type of guy. That's just the way he lived his life.
That's Gary Kubiak, who was on The Fan last night with Nick and Cecil. Brandon Stokely sitting in for Stink. And boy, this one has really hit the Broncos and the whole NFL coaching fraternity real hard. The sudden passing of longtime assistant Greg Knapp, who was injured and suffered, obviously, life-claiming injuries in a bicycle accident, passed away at the age of 58. And he was here as the Broncos quarterback's coach when they won the Super Bowl in 2015. And I'm always so impressed by, amazed by, and really curious about the coaching nomad. You know, the path that so many of these assistants take in their journey, which takes them all over the place.
Yes.
I mean, they're like, and their kids and their family, they're like military brats. You know, they move around, but such is the life of these coaches. And And they love it.
Yeah, it's a tough lifestyle. Certainly, it's not easy. The time, the hour, the commitment that they put in. And I never was on a team that was coached by Greg Knapp, but I got to interact with him a couple times. And one that comes to mind was, I believe it was a Super Bowl year. My oldest son and I was out for, Peyton had us out there for training camp practice, and he ended up calling us over, Peyton did, during one of this, when special teams was going on. And he started chatting with my son, and next thing you know, my son's snapping to him with Greg Knapp there. And, you know, sometimes coaches can be stuffy, especially during practice time. And Greg Knapp couldn't have been nicer to my son, myself. And, you know, especially in a situation like that, you don't know how a coach will react. And that's my first impression and of Greg Knapp. And you hear all his former players and coaches that have coached with him and the words that they have said about him. You know, it's really a tragedy. And it's, you know, the NFL lost a good man.
Yeah, your first impression seemed to be the universal impressions of what people say and felt about him. More on Greg Knapp's passing. Here's Brock Osweiler.
Second down.
Greg always knew, whether it was a game, a practice, in the meeting room, he always knew what to say to you. Sometimes it might have been two or three words, and other times, you know, it might have been a couple sentences or a 15-minute sit-down. But he always knew what to say. He always knew how to get the most out of his quarterback. And he was a very special man.
Still, you dealt with a lot of assistant coaches, college, pros. Can you point to a common thread, a common denominator when it comes to what separates the good coaches from the not so good?
I think coaches that can relate to you, not only, you know, what you're going through on the football field, but off the football field. Coaches that can walk that fine line of being able to push you and hold you accountable, but also being able to, you know, sit down with you and chat with you about what's going on outside of football. You know, being able to walk that fine line, and some coaches can do it very well, and I've had a bunch of those, and some coaches can't. You know, they're all business all the time, and but the best ones are the ones that it's not only about football, but there's a time and place for it to be only about football. You know, it's not an easy thing to do, but when you can walk that line, I think that's when you become a great coach or have the chance to become a great coach.
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Shotgun snap to Murray, drops back to throw, fires left side, Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins puts his hands up and he catches it, and it's a touchdown. I have no idea how he caught that ball. DeAndre Hopkins' hands are as good as we've ever seen in the National Football League. I have no idea how he caught that football with a defender all over it.
Cardinals radio, DeAndre Hopkins, in a since-deleted tweet, saying that he would question his future in the NFL if it meant not getting the COVID-19 vaccine could potentially hurt his team's chances in 2021. The NFL sending out memo in which they are saying that any outbreaks that occur on teams involving unvaccinated players could lead to the forfeiting of games and thus the forfeiting of game checks. My first reaction to this, Stoke, was, oh, wow, that's a pretty tough stance. But then you go back and think about it, and you're like, is it really that tough of a stance? They had that same kind of rule in place last year. And yet, in a time, in a year in which there wasn't a vaccine, nobody was getting vaccinated, there was the risk of COVID outbreaks, there were COVID outbreaks. Guess what? The NFL did not have to forfeit one game. Now, they did. They jumped through a lot of hoops to do
yes.
it, including, you know, playing games on Wednesday, moving a game from a Saturday to a Wednesday.
Which is really cool. They ought to have more games on Wednesday.
I would have a game at all 7 days
yes.
of the week. I'd have no problem with that. Or forcing a team to play a game without any quarterbacks. But they got through it. Okay, that's my point. And so how much do you think the NFL is really prepared to enforce this after a season in which they showed they can move things around and still get all the games in?
I mean, they don't want to fine a team, and they don't want to cancel a game. Of course not. But I think this is, you know, a case of emergency break glass. This is to let the world know and the NFL world know that if, a really bad situation happens, these will be the consequences. Now, that's last resort.
Right.
You know, they'll do everything to play the game. Of course they will. But if something goes down and say, Mike, that you have, you know, your whole offensive line got COVID, and you have like 10 other people that have it, and there's no chance that you can play, like there's no backups. You can't put Kendall Hinton in. You're done. It's a wrap. Well, these are the consequences for that. Do I think it will happen? Yeah, maybe once, but probably not. It would have to be a rare, rare thing, I think, and a huge outbreak for them to cancel a game.
Just to give you an idea of what went down last year, the NFL postponed 5 games and moved 10 other games to accommodate outbreaks.
But they're not moving anything this year.
Let's see about that. Again, you talk about... That is the last resort.
Yes.
The last resort. I don't think that's a road the NFL wants to go down. But they are tossing it out there.
Mike, I really don't care.
As a threat, an incentive,
right,
however you want to word it.
For game checks for players gone if they can't play, not only for the outbreak, the team that has the outbreak, but the other team also. I mean, there's major consequences.
And by the way, for those saying, hey, wait a minute, what about freedom of choice? Hey, the league is a business. The league is a private entity. They are a company.
And they're not making you get it.
No, they're not making
you. You still have the freedom of choice.
Right.
But there's consequences.
Exactly. And how many of us work in places just like that? Part of the game.
Yep.
Part of the way it works. Real world stuff. All right, next in 4 down territory.
4th down.
I got the vaccine just because, you know, I wanted to put myself in the best situation to be out there for my team week in and week out. But, not everyone feels that strongly, or maybe other people, you know, still have their view of vaccines, and like, you can't force someone to do something that they don't want to do with their body.
There is Zeke Elliott of the Dallas Cowboys, who also talked about how he believes he's got a lot to prove this year. I would say so, Stoke, for a guy that I think we all think of as reputation as one of the best running backs in the NFL. You realize last year he only, and this was still being able to play in 15 games, only rushed for 979 yards and 6 touchdowns. I give the Cowboys credit. They continue to be interesting. I'm curious to see how they do this year. Jerry Jones coming out and saying he'd do anything to get to the Super Bowl this year. They're going to be on
anything known to man.
Yeah, well, known to man. He was thinking about that.
Oh, Jerry.
Thinking about that in the shower. There is such a boom or bust element to these Cowboys that do make them must-see TV.
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be fun to watch this year, see if they can bounce back. I mean, they were a mess on the offensive line last year. The whole thing was a debacle, and it's entertaining when it is, because they show Jerry Jones on TV. He's bright red. He does the interviews, and, you know, he kind of says it like it is. And so he's entertaining. The owner's entertaining. And when the owner's entertaining, that makes it a great story. So it's going to be fun to see, you know, how they bounce back this year. Will they bounce back this year? It's going to be entertaining.
Makes for a great story. It's entertaining, but you probably don't want your owner to be that much of a story and that entertaining.
If you're working radio, maybe.
Well, if you're working radio. But how would you like to play for an owner like that? Probably not.
He's all in. He wants to win, though.
Well,
right? He's committed to winning, and he puts resources into it, Mike.
Yeah,
there's worse things out there.
True, but he's also... thinks of himself as the team general manager, too.
He owns the team.
Well, he does own the team. His team, his rules. All right. That'll do it for 4 Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. It's an Is It Just Me Friday, giving you a chance to get stuff off your chest. We'll do that along with Ryan Spielborgs, our Rockies analyst, going to join us. We're getting closer. We're about a week away from the trade deadline. Does he see any Rockies on the move? That's next. Just a huge, huge... huge move by Brandon Stokely in for Mark Schlereth today. So, admittedly, well, you didn't admit it, but I said it was so. You dropped the ball this morning. Okay.
Well,
Friday, normally I bring in the breakfast, but I just assumed you being the solid pro that you are would have brought in breakfast being the guest here.
You were in the drive-thru.
So I did. I went through the drive-thru.
Right.
Because then it dawned on me. Because, look, sometimes in the morning I'm in a fog, right?
Oh, okay.
So in the morning I was at the drive-thru Friday. It's my routine. I go through the drive-thru. I pick up breakfast for the crew here.
And I knew that.
But then I thought, wait a minute. Stokely's coming in this morning. So Stokely, knowing that he's kind of like the rookie, he'll make sure he, and I always hear legendary stories about how there's, every time I listen to you guys, you and Zach, there's food here. You're bringing in donuts, you're bringing in sandwiches, you're bringing in cookies, you're bringing in pizza. So I'm like, Stokes going to take care of it. So I didn't get anything.
Yeah.
And then imagine mine, especially Millennial Ben's disappointment, then when there was no food here.
Right. And I like Ben. I see Ben every day now because he works up until my show starts. So I see him every day. And, you know, I enjoy, feeding Ben.
He needs to be fed. Keeping Ben happy.
That hurt me that, you know, Ben wasn't going to be fed this morning and you dropped the ball and you didn't let me know that, hey, what my expectations were. I mean, I've only been working at this radio station for like 5 years now. I didn't know I was still considered a rookie. But if you would have said, hey, you know, you're coming into my territory on my show. This is what you're supposed to do. Like, you got to tell me the expectations. I would have gotten it. But we didn't have breakfast. You went through the drive-thru and just got yourself a Coke. And so there was no breakfast. And, you know, I wasn't going to let that happen.
No, right? And so.
And I, for one, am mad as hell.
Stoke totally redeemed himself. He just got Chick-fil-A order this morning. We got some breakfast biscuits, some chicken.
Feeling good? Yes, for this last hour, 10 minutes. I'm excited. It's Friday.
I'm re-energized.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'm glad that you re-energized. I'm having fun, and I appreciate you letting me sit in with you today, and it's Friday.
Yeah, it is Friday. So let's have some fun here. We tend to get loose on a Friday, and so we'll see if you can get, you know, full-on stink loose.
Oh,
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Zach allows you to do that between noon and three. I don't know if you guys are a little bit more buttoned up between noon and three. Here in the morning, we like to get loose.
Get loose.
All right? So show me the loose side of Brandon Stokely, okay?
Is that what we're doing right now?
I'll lead you there. I will lead you there. Okay, here we go. Is it just me or is the universal dislike of Drew Lock causing people to lie about the talent of Teddy Bridgewater? Dude averages 14 TDs and 10 interceptions per year. Let's not lie just to support the narrative that Drew Lock stinks. All right, any truth to that?
I'm kind of confused. Can you kind of dumb that down for me a little bit, Mike?
The idea is that Broncos country, a part of Broncos country, is so down and over Drew Lock that they tend to elevate Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, and that's true. And I think Teddy Bridgewater, because the narrative around Teddy Bridgewater is, guess what? He's safe. He's conservative. He takes care of the football, right? That's kind of how it goes. Like, if you're safe and conservative, what happens? You don't turn the football over. Well, that wasn't the case with Teddy last year. Safe, conservative, those were, and you're accurate with the football. He did turn the football over too much last year. And so I think, you know, the bashing of Drew Lock, and I don't want to say bashing. I think the criticizing of Drew Lock, which is fair. All of a sudden you look at it and it kind of propels Teddy Bridgewater ahead of Drew Lock. But both of these guys were really bad last year. Those are the facts. They both played really bad football last year. And I think when you look at the Broncos and how they're structured, and you look at who their coach is, now you can start putting the clues together about what quarterback would be the better fit. And that's why I think Teddy Bridgewater gets more positivity, and has a better outlook maybe from a lot of people at this station than a Drew Lock. Does that make sense?
Yep. All right. Simply put, do you see Drew Lock being able to become a franchise quarterback?
No. I mean, how could I? He hasn't shown enough. So
yeah, but you've been around long enough. You've played with enough quarterbacks where you could
suck.
Where you could probably see the potential. I mean, I would think that over the course of your career, it did not take you long to be with a guy, play with a guy where you're like, this guy can do it, this guy can't.
Yes, absolutely.
And you probably weren't proven wrong, were you, many times?
No, and I didn't have a lot of a ton of young quarterbacks that I you know played with. I was fortunate, especially when I got out of Baltimore, to you know have Peyton Manning and came here Cutler and
Kyle Orton.
Yeah. I did have Flacco in Baltimore for a year. Eli Manning for a few weeks. So Hasselbeck. I mean, you cannot
lose games in the NFL and still win.
Perfect. Thank you, Trent.
So wise.
You usually can tell pretty early.
But you're emphatic. You're emphatic. Say no, well, you just don't
see. I would ask you, if you say yes, like, why? How? What have you seen? I mean, you're going to point to, like, two moments in 16 games? I mean, what have you seen to lead you to believe that he could be the answer? I just didn't see enough.
Here's what I guess I place that faith on, is that physically I see a guy who can play the game. There's no reason why physically he can't do it, okay?
So what does that consist of when you say physically?
I see the arm talent. I see the mobility. I see the athleticism. What I don't see yet is the understanding. Just to boil it down, I don't see an understanding of how to play the game, play the position.
And what's more important?
Oh, there's no doubt. It's that.
And that's the biggest key in the NFL. In the NFL, like, if you don't understand the position, go through reads and progressions and know defenses and be able to process quickly, you really don't have a chance unless you're Lamar Jackson.
Right.
Athlete.
But I feel that this is a guy that with experience, with time, should be able to pick that part of it up.
Well, it's not that easy. You know, it's not that easy where you just kind of just threw it out there. Like, well, you know, he should be able to pick it up, right? I mean, it's a hard thing to do. Can he? Could he? Sure.
Why do you think most quarterbacks fail?
Because of the overload of, you know, trying to process everything that's going on in the NFL. It's so fast, so quick, where in college, you know, you had – I don't know, 3, 4, 5 seconds. In the NFL, sometimes it's 2 seconds. And defenses are, you know, they're so much faster. They're doing so many more different things to you. You don't have guys that are wide open for the most part, right? It's tight windows. And you got to be accurate with the football. So, you know, there's just so much thinking that's going on. And it has to happen so quick that, you know, guys aren't used to it. And now, can you adapt or can't you adapt? And most can't. It's because it's so hard to do.
So then what I'm hearing then is that your belief that he can't be a franchise quarterback comes from the idea you just don't think he'll be able to figure it out.
That's right. Because of what I've seen, the history that I've seen from Drew Lock.
Even though you know in the back of your mind there's that little bit of a nagging that, well, wait a minute, what about that 4-1 stretch there under Rich Gangarello?
Sure.
You know, what about the idea that, you know, you came in with Pat Shurmur, you had a much different offense.
Yeah.
I know you're not a Pat Shurmur fan. I've listened to you long enough to know. I mean, you do not sugarcoat that.
Definitely not the president of his fan club.
No, you're not. Nope. So shouldn't that sort of influence
it matters
how you feel about Locke? I mean, shouldn't there be part of you say, look, right now, I don't think Drew Locke can be a franchise quarterback. Get him with a different offensive coordinator. I'll still hold out some hope.
Well, I'm not going to give him that big of a pass. I think his rookie year, 4-1, you know, but sometimes when you come in relief and you don't have expectations and you're just kind of having fun and slinging it around the yard, it's like, oh, 4-1. Then when the expectations hit you and you have to do it consistently, either you show up or you don't. And I don't want to make this as a Drew Lock bashing, but he didn't play good last year.
No.
He didn't play well
You're
enough
right.
last year. And so how am I going to look at last year, his most recent, performances and say, yes, I think this guy can take this huge step forward and be the franchise quarterback. I mean, that's a big check in that box where you look at him and say, oh, we're not drafting the quarterback here for the next 5 years. We got that thing answered. How can I look at what I saw last year and project that? I think that's foolish. Now, could he do it? Certainly. Certainly. But I wouldn't bet that he could.
Okay.
Would you?
That'd be foolish.
Be foolish.
I mean, it would be foolish to do it. But for at least for him, you know what? George Payton didn't just throw him out with the bathwater. You know what I mean? I mean, he's giving him a chance to prove all of his skeptics wrong. And you know what? After the year he had last year, a lot of quarterbacks may not be wouldn't get that chance.
Especially with the new general manager.
New general manager comes in and says, I want my guy.
You're not getting that chance. I mean, very, very fortunate to have this opportunity. And with a good roster around him and some talent on the offense where you don't have to do everything. And he is now going into the second year in the same system, even though, you know, you can say whatever you want about Pat Shurmur. It is the same system, and hopefully he can build off of last year. And if he does get off the opportunity, hopefully he does a better job with it. He has to, and he has put a lot of work into this offseason. But he has to perform better, much, much better than what we've seen. And but he's fortunate to have this opportunity. I mean, it's usually if you play the way that he played and you're a second-round pick, you're not going to be competing for a starting job. Injuries have to happen for you to get another opportunity. I mean, he's got a chance to be the starter opening day again. After what we saw last year, hey, look, that's very, very fortunate.
This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.